So welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 18th of June. We've got two great guests to talk to you in the second half of the show. We've still got more tweets coming in. We've still got emails to read. There's lots of things to do. So shall we crack on? I'm going to... What shall I do? An email, I think, Bert.
You want me to do one?
Yeah, I'll put,
here we go again.
I'll put a couple of extra ones on.
So I'm really saying that we've got a great power on the show here. Do you remember when your best friend on Twitter, T. Botty, came in?
Yeah.
And he was talking about the Marsh Academy, one of the schools down on Romney Marsh, and saying how he really wanted to go into them and give them some local businesses who would really support, just similar to 30-30, really.
Yep.
And not just have the normal careers day of the army come in and, you know, these big corporate beasts. He wanted local businesses to come in and how we can support our youth and how we can get them into the workplace, really. So yep. Here we go. The Marsh Academy here in New Romney is holding a careers and job fair on the 2nd of July. And it's for 15 to 18-year-olds. And I'm looking to put together a local business stroke employer corner with around 10 to 12 businesses who can explain what they look for when they're recruiting young people. It's so interesting, isn't it? Today, I think there's a theme of what do people want, and this would be it. So maybe we have jobs coming up, or they might just have a discussion with a young person and tell them about the world of work and the Marsh and the adjacent areas, so things like Rye, Ashford, Folkestone. We should have enough space for banners as well. So if you can spare some time on the 2nd of July, he would like to hear from you. You need to go and contact Terry, and it's at terry@marshnetwork.co.uk. Or he's on Twitter.
TD Botty.
Queued that up for you beautifully.
Thank you, Bird. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Thank you
so much for that.
So professional.
Yeah, but do get along to that. It's really important that we build these relationships between schools and business. There's a lot of talented young people out there, and we need to bring them into the workforce. We are desperate. There are 840,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the UK at the moment, and we've got no one to do them, and we need people to do them. It's desperate. It is absolutely desperate. And we're on course to create another 660,000 new jobs over the next 12 months too. And the rationale behind it has completely escaped the politicians, who are just taking credit for it without knowing why it's occurred. The fact is, what's happening is more and more people are starting their own businesses. And as more people start their own businesses, that creates two jobs, because it creates the job that they leave, plus they employ themselves in their first job. So even if they never employ anyone else, they've effectively created two jobs. And that's really the baseline of it, as well as normal growth. But, of course, we're a nation of small businesses. There's 5.8 million businesses in the UK. 99.7 of them employ less than 200 people. 99.7. You'd never believe it from the way the politicians attack small businesses consistently, but they do, and it's the small businesses that have been creating all the work. But we need people, and so any of those things that bring business and education closer together, in my book, is a good thing.
Yeah,
we're also doing a lot of work, and funnily enough, I'm going to an event on Thursday evening, which is an awards ceremony celebrating people that... helping people with disabilities and supported needs. And it's something that we've looked at an awful lot in terms of helping people into the world of work from that area, because there's a lot of talented people out there with supported needs that in the past have not been given the chance to do jobs that they are more than capable of doing. And that's changing, thankfully, but far too slowly. But we're getting there slowly. But it's 17% of the available workforce has some kind of supported need. It's a lot. Cool. So, do you know what? I think we'll talk to somebody sensible now.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's probably worthwhile talking to somebody sensible. We'll have our next guest on. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time, to the Business Bunker Show, Monica Jensen. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. We're going to talk about your new role, but I also want to, at some point, talk about your old role as well, and,
okay.
And what your actual business is. But you've recently, fairly recently, taken up the role as chair of the Wealden Business Group.
Yep, that's right, in April.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Wealden Business Group itself, and then I know, happen to know you're doing some special things for younger people as well.
Yeah. So Wealden Business Group, it's a pretty, it's a networking group that's been going for quite a long time. In fact, we celebrated our 20th anniversary last May. We all went to Bruges for the day, which was great fun. But anyway, we are a networking group. We have a very impressive referrals rate, which goes up every year. We also have a big variety of talent and skill, and a fantastic basis of cooperation and mutual support. So if you need to ask a lawyer or an accountant or, I don't know, a builder some advice, some special advice, without thinking, oh, I'm going to worry about how much this is going to cost me. I just really want to kind of, well, what if I did this question? You know, I just want to ask that kind of question. And they can come in at a network breakfast meeting once a week and ask that kind of question. And the other thing is we get heads up on things before they actually happen,
right?
Like making tax digital, all sorts of social media things, GDPR, nightmare that it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get a heads up way before that happens.
Yeah.
So that we're all geared up to it, and that costs us nothing,
right,
except this annual membership we pay. And so it's a fantastic resource system, and even if you didn't come up with a referral, the advice and the cooperation and the help that I've got in the past 2 years is just phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these kind of groups are very powerful information sharing groups and support groups. You're absolutely right. The Wealden Business Group, does it do what it says on the tin? Is it effectively for businesses based in the Weald area, or do you have businesses from further afield?
They're mainly from Kent and Sussex.
Right, so everybody, but it's not kind of just the Weald.
No. We're not limited like that. Mm. We're very interested in encouraging new businesses, and that's why we've just launched this deal, which is called WBG Springboard. And what we're very interested in encouraging is not just young people, but people with young businesses,
right,
that is younger than 2 years.
Right. Startups,
yeah. SMEs, to come in, and for the first year, excuse me, there'll be no subscription fees,
right,
and a very small subsidised monthly meeting fee.
Fantastic.
£20 a month.
It's interesting, and maybe we can kind of bring Linda in here a bit, because it's kind of her field as well. Mm. It is interesting how over the last few years this business thing has changed. Back in the day, most sales leads were all done via knocking down doors or cold calling on the phone, which was everybody's worst nightmare always. In the last few years, that's changed drastically, hasn't it?
Well, because of GDPR, you can't.
And you can't do it anyway, even if you wanted to, yeah, exactly. But luckily, we were kind of ahead of the game with that, because we've been doing networking for a few years now. Mm. And with the right networking groups, you know, there's a lot of networking goes on. Some of it isn't always that
They're
brilliant.
They're all so different, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're not heavily regimented. We're quite relaxed, but we are organised. And we like to think we're a halfway house.
Yeah.
So that nobody feels sort of intimidated coming in.
Mm.
And at the same time, that, you know, they don't feel like they're one of these, I won't name any names, but these networking groups.
Some can be a bit formulaic, can't they?
Can be formulaic.
Yeah.
And there's a pressure on to bring new people in all the time.
Yeah.
We don't really want that. We want this. You see, we believe that everything is based on relationships and people, like you do,
yes,
Linda. And we don't go in there selling ourselves. We go in there to build friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
And then, we just find that we've done a lot of business on the way in a very relaxed, friendly, low-key way.
And it is a great way to do business, isn't it? Because it is relaxed.
It's the best way.
Yeah, yeah. Because it is, you know, there's this big thing, especially in digital technology, about, you know, with things like TripAdvisor and all the rest of it, where people rate and review and either recommend or not other businesses. So that's become a big thing. But with you're basically face-to-face recommendations, aren't you?
Yes. And everything has to be based on trust.
Yeah.
So if our carpenter comes and does some window work in my house, it's got to stand up, because I could just go and tell the rest of the group that he's done a very bad job.
Yeah.
But actually that never happens, because we just want to help each other.
But that's the difference between a face-to-face group and an online thing, isn't it? Because anybody can put anything online. You've got no real way of testing whether that's true or not, yeah?
Yeah.
Whereas if you walk into a room and somebody's there and they go, she did a brilliant job for me, you're fairly assured that that's the case, yeah? And then I'm sure if somebody did a bad job, you wouldn't kind of necessarily identify them, but you would make it known amongst the group that, do you know what, they weren't that good.
Yeah.
So it is actually a far more powerful way of recommending. And a great way for a small business to actually generate leads and to market their business, which I guess is the rationale behind Springboard.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's a way of getting. We wanted to inject new energy, so that we could benefit from that, and they could benefit from our, for want of a better word, wisdom and experience.
Yeah.
And so the two would feed off each other. But the other thing we do is we support charity. We have a local charity, the Tenterton Dementia Cafe, and that's really great for the charity. Without sounding callous, it's actually quite good for us as well. It's a good marketing vehicle. So, as you say, it's a win-win thing.
Absolutely. So give us some parameters around the group. You meet on a Wednesday?
Yeah, every week we meet Wednesday for breakfast quite early. We have a speaker every week.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have some incredibly motivational speakers, ex-sportsmen, people who have really bust a gut to get, where they've got.
I came on and spoke at Wealden, Monica.
When was that?
So they're not fussy then.
That must have been before I went.
3 years ago?
Yeah, it was before I joined.
Yeah. I had it's a great group. Oh, great group. So, yes, you have the top speakers there, Monica.
Do they?
Yeah. Inspirational, Monica
says.
That's
just the members.
Inspirational.
Were you inspirational, Bert?
Top. Sports people, that's what Monica said.
Yeah, no, I get that. Good.
Well, sorry, carry on.
No, it's all right. We're stunned silence. So you have inspirational speakers. And it's a breakfast meeting. What time do you start?
7.
Oh, blimey.
Well, we sit down at 7:15, but right. 7 o'clock,
Great breakfast. They do a really lovely breakfast for you.
Yeah, it's a full English breakfast or continental if you want it. Yeah.
And your meetings are always at the same place, yeah?
Yes, although, as I say, we do have outings and things like that. This Friday we're having a barbecue, which we're fundraising for the charity. Got about 60 people coming to that.
Okay. So. And you hold the meetings at the Little Silver
Little
Hotel.
Silver Hotel, which is, I believe, directly opposite where you live.
Well, it's too far for me to come.
Well, we're inviting you again. We'd like to see you again.
It's too far. I'm not up then. I'm in my dressing gown putting the bins out while you lot are eating your breakfast on a Wednesday. I'll wave at you next time.
well, just to say, if we invite a guest, the guest is our guest and he or she is very welcome to have a... In fact, we invite them twice where nothing has to be paid or anything and they can take a look at us. Decide whether they like us and we like them. So we're very interested in getting people into coming.
So what's the size of the group at the moment?
We're just under 30 people, so right, it's not too big.
Cool. And do you have ambitions to expand that greatly, or is it something that you're just trying to keep control of with the quality?
We don't want to expand it greatly so that we don't want to lose that connection that we have between everybody. But we would like some different businesses just to have a bit more variety.
Okay. And do you have are you a group that has restrictions, so you only have one person from each sector?
Well, what we say is that a guest is entitled to come whether they're in competition with one of our members or not. But, yeah, we have a restriction on... Well, I mean, we've got 3 lawyers, but, of course, they specialise in different fields. But we do have a restriction. We only have one person from the same specific field. But we find that we trust each other like that and we get a lot of business through each other. So it works for us.
It works
for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of ways of doing stuff, isn't it? And you don't have to do it the same way as everyone else. In fact, that's the beauty of the kind of thing that you're doing... is that you give people an option, which is your way of doing it. If it doesn't suit them, they can go and do a different type of group, yeah?
But that's why we don't have a restriction on guests, because we find that when we invite guests, sometimes, very often, we find that it looked like they were in competition with one of our members, but actually we sat down and we spoke and we found that there was some kind of synergy and there was a way that we could do business even without him joining the group.
Yeah.
So you must always be open to relationships, I think. Never sort of put barriers down.
Absolutely, absolutely. So on a Wealden Business Group, if people want to find out more about it, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is to go onto our website or contact me.
Okay.
Have you got my, you've got my details?
The website link is on the Kent Business Radio website.
Exactly.
It's wealdenbusinessgroup.co.uk. But there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yeah.
And all the contact details are on there. So that's the Wealden Business Group. Monica, I just want to find out a bit about you.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is it that you do? What's your business?
Well, my background actually is a lawyer and investment banking. But I won't go into that because it'll take too long. But it really wasn't me, and I came out of it. And I have been doing private tuition for the last 7 years.
Right.
So I specialise in preparing kids for schools like Winchester Eton.
Right.
Okay. Also do A-level history, politics.
So you're doing common entrance preparation.
Yeah, some of it, 11 plus, 13 plus. And also I'm a historian and writer.
Oh, okay. And the kind of writing you're doing, are we talking fiction, novels, or...?
No, it's quirky history. It's about how people live their private lives.
Oh, I like that.
And the origin of privacy.
Here we go.
And the fact that...
Monica, you can't just put this in now.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, the fact that you would absolutely insist on going to the loo on your own, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want anyone to see. Whereas that's quite a recent thing. It's only about 150 years.
Yeah. That's
absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
It's funny you should say that. I'm a big history fan and I love reading fictional history and real history. But what always annoyed me at school was when they talked about history, they talked about a very small subset.
The rich, the wealthy,
Of powerful people. And you never got a feel for how ordinary people lived their lives and quirky stuff,
social,
as you say.
Social history, how people live their lives, exactly.
You know, I mean, because the vast majority of people had no more idea of what was going on then than we did 300 years later.
When you're looking at the very wealthy, they were also going to the loo together.
Yeah.
And they were also doing everything together, sleeping, everything together, because there was no privacy.
Yeah.
People were terrified of privacy.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how... but we don't think about things like that. We really don't, you know. It's like the other great one was drinking habits that always used to fascinate me, how in the West, in Europe, even babies were given beer to drink, watered beer, obviously, because fermenting beer was one of the few ways of giving people water that was basically drinkable.
Yesterday,
yeah,
you couldn't drink water.
Yeah.
I was at Shepherd Neame yesterday.
Were you?
Yes, and that's actually built in Faversham on a big water well that goes right down to the chalk, and they let us taste the water, and it was absolutely delicious. I mean, how can you get delicious water? But it was lovely. It was so pure.
It's different.
And he said, one of the things that Jonathan said was, Jonathan Neame, he said that beer is a staple diet product.
Yes.
It's not alcohol, it's staple. Yeah. And he's, funny enough, he brought up about in the past them drinking it, and that's why they gave it to babies, because it's...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Which is just... That whole thing is fascinating. If in the Far East, in Oriental places, they had a different approach to it, where they boiled water and made tea. So, which is why you have these two things. And, of course, because we've had about 1,000 years of consuming beer in the West, we have a tolerance for alcohol that a lot of other people don't. But it's just one of those things. And then...
And then, of course, we're not going to get into the fermented of the microbiome of the stomach and the nutrition element that brings.
Well, I was going to tie it all together, and the reason we go to the loo together is because drinking that amount of beer, you have to go quite often. Monica, that's fascinating. Do you actually have a personal website where people can find some of the work you've done?
I do, actually. It's called Monica Jansen's Author. I think Monica Jansen's author, yes.
We're going to find it and put it on.
And what books have you got out, Monica?
Well,
what?
It's not published yet, but the first one is about our relationship with a bed, and it's called 69 Beds and What They Say About You.
I see what she did there.
I don't.
No, well, I'll explain that to you both.
Good. It's a business show, Monica. This is a business show.
I know, but sex is business.
It is, it's true.
Monica, that's fascinating.
She's sent us off on another direction.
If only we'd have known this earlier, we could have done a whole show on this.
I'd love to come back and talk about it if you'll have me.
Well, we certainly will, because I'm for one.
I'm grabbing Monica. You know what I'm going to say? Yeah, yeah. Monica, I want you on the conversation.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to come back.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, we like that. Monica, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
And we wish the Wilden Business Group much and continued success. I will come over at some point and knock on the door.
Please, we'd love to see you. Yeah.
And we also are more than happy to help you promote the Springboard for Startup Businesses, because it is important. And good luck with your book, and we can't wait to read it. For the moment, thank you very much. We've got a couple of emails and tweets still to read, and then we're going to talk to our third guest, Anya Evin, and we're really excited about that. Are we not, Bird?
We are very excited. We're very excited about that, because this is a conversation that I've been having for years, and you've all laughed at me. It's true.
We never laugh
at
you, Bird.
They did laugh at me.
I've had a tweet, and it said, I can't respond because it's a locked account on Twitter. They're called Diamond Circle Weddings. And they said,
what do they do?
Well, yeah. but they just followed us for the first time, and they went, we're listening.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you're enjoying it. If your account wasn't locked, I'd talk to you, but I can't. So, but
unlock your account.
Yeah, unlock your account. Join us. Diamond Circle Weddings. Anyway, check them out.
Cool.
What you got?
I've got a couple of emails left. So we've got Sitting Bourne and Swale employers with current vacancies. They have a few free places left to exhibit at jobsinkent.com. Sitting Bourne Careers Fair on Thursday, the 4th of July. And that's at the Apple Yard at Sitting Bourne. You need to DM Tracy Ferguson at Tazzy64 if you are interested. And can you also please share with anyone in the area who may be looking for a new career?
Fantastic. And that job fair is actually sponsored and supported by the New Appointments Group. So huge thank you to them as well. Coming up in September, on the 26th of September, in fact, at the Kent Event Centre at Detlin, which is a county showground there, Thursday the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m, is the Tech Expo show. Tech Expo UK is a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them to run, build and grow their businesses more effectively and efficiently. We have one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing our keynote seminar, and they will be sharing with us how they're working to support businesses of all sizes. We're also looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, which is staying human in a digital world. So the speakers at the event are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer at 10 Intelligence, who are a cybersecurity company, Ben Abbott, the CEO of Maximum Media, who's going to be talking about getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child and Child Lawyers, talking digital law and IP. And Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie, who's going to be talking about being human in a digital world. It's interesting. There's also workshops from Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 62 Tech. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. And the absolutely lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, who's an international speaker and TV star, and she's talking about having an adaptable content strategy plan. All this, plus roundtables, panel discussions, networking meetups, and much, much more, are all happening at the Tech Expo. If you're a supplier who provides a tech-based solution to help business owners run, build and grow their businesses more efficiently and would like to showcase your brand to hundreds of owners and buyers and meet them face-to-face in a buzzing trade show environment, they still have a few exhibition spaces left available. If you want to find out about this at any level, if you go to
www.techexpouk.com.
Cool. Do you know what?
Let's do it.
Let's speak to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show. Bird's been so excited about this. Mr. Anya Evin. On, welcome to the show. I came across you a while back when I was introduced virtually to you by the Kent Business School at the University of Kent. You spoke recently on this topic. on your business is coin intelligence. What, and obviously your area of expertise is cryptocurrencies, which is a topic that has a kind of mixed reaction amongst people. An awful lot of people haven't got a clue what it is. An awful lot of people think they have a clue what it is and go, ooh, don't like that. And then some people like Bird go, I'm making a fortune.
It's
so
true.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. I know you're very passionate about this subject. Can you just start by giving us a quick overview for those that don't understand what a cryptocurrency is?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure.
It's great to be here, especially since the green outside is so nice for me. I'm coming from London. I'll tell you a little bit about myself with regards to what I find relevant to what I'll talk about with regards to blockchain and crypto.
Right.
So I've been a serial entrepreneur, as they say, for the last 20 years. Mainly high-tech startups, marketing, but more. Almost 2 years ago, I was introduced to blockchain and crypto. And after 25 minutes of a phone call with a good friend of mine, I decided to dedicate my life to blockchain and crypto. I decided to push aside everything else that I was doing. And I was involved in at least six companies that I remember.
Do you know? Sorry to interrupt you. What was the point? What was the thing that went bing?
I'll definitely explain that.
Okay, cool.
So we have blockchain and we have cryptocurrency. Obviously, they are very connected to each other because most cryptocurrencies are based on blockchain.
Yep.
But blockchain is not only cryptocurrency.
Yep.
And I'll give you one example of something that I realized. When we talk about blockchain, we talk about trust. Mm-hmm. The reason that we talk about trust is due to the fact that with blockchain, basically blockchain is very similar to a database that you know. So if you imagine a spreadsheet, but the main difference between blockchain and everything else that we had until today is the fact that with some of the blockchains, or let's say the main purpose of blockchain, some people change it a bit, but I'll stick to the original idea, is that as soon as you update something on the blockchain, it can never be removed.
Right.
No matter what you do, no matter if you are the one who invented the blockchain, you are the one who controlled it at the beginning, as soon as it goes live, that's it. Even the creator cannot change the blocks on the blockchain.
Okay.
Now, just to explain how huge it is, let's take the elections, for example.
Yep.
Everyone knows that in many countries worldwide or many cities, there's corruption within elections.
Yep.
We all know that some countries, it's much worse than others.
Yeah.
And for example, if we will have elections registered on the blockchain, no one will be able to cheat.
Right.
No matter what. As soon as it's registered, that's it. It's right. there for, right. For good.
Yeah.
Another example is Academy. For example, we've seen so many people lying about their Academy achievements, and people were shocked to discover that they didn't have the MBA that they claimed have.
Yeah.
They didn't do the PhD that they said that they would.
What is a blockchain?
A blockchain is a big database. That's the easiest way to explain it. Obviously, if I'll need to explain exactly what blockchain is, we'll be here until tomorrow at least. But that's the quickest way to explain what is blockchain.
Thank you.
Now, beside the examples that I just showed about blockchain and the fact that it can eliminate corruption and to gain trust in a way that was never possible for the humankind, it's one of the biggest revolutions that I am so excited about.
And it was kind of that revelation that turned you onto it. Okay,
exactly.
Get it.
And the second part, which is the cryptocurrency, is, and the reason that I am so excited about it is because cryptocurrency allows us for the first time in human history to control and own our money. Now, I mentioned before that I'm a serial entrepreneur and I do have a few companies that I built, and they are fully operational and profitable. And the reason that I'm mentioning it is because I don't want you to think that I am upset at some governments or banks or whatever. I don't have an issue. I don't have a personal issue with anyone, or at least I didn't before I joined the blockchain and crypto industry. And my biggest issue is when I see people that are not able to have economic freedom. Let's take the people at the developing countries.
Yeah.
So many people in the world don't understand that these people are unbanked.
Yeah.
And they are not unbanked because they decided to be unbanked. It's because they don't have the option.
Yeah.
So, for example, if we look at people in the UK, for everyone in the UK, it's so obvious that you have a bank account.
Yeah.
But there's so many people out there without a bank account. With cryptocurrency, you don't need a bank account.
Mm.
You can install a crypto wallet on your laptop, on your mobile phone, and you don't need to ask anyone's permission to transfer the funds. It's open and accessible 24/7. And the best thing about cryptocurrency is that you can trade it.
Yep.
There's crypto exchanges.
Mm.
And right now there's more than 600 crypto exchanges, and new ones are coming up every day.
But does that mean it's a good vehicle for, say, laundering dirty money?
Absolutely.
Oh, right.
But the biggest vehicle in the world is cash money. And I don't see cash money being banned beside a few countries out there.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you that the biggest advantage with cryptocurrency, at least most of it, because there's also a type of cryptocurrency called privacy coins. I'll not get into that. Mm-hmm. And personally, never mind. I'll not get into that because that's too much to get into today. But beside privacy coins, everything is traceable on the blockchain, which means that if I committed a felony using Bitcoin, which is the most popular cryptocurrency out there, if the government will take my laptop or my mobile phone, for example, they will be able within minutes to trace everything, who sent it to me, who I sent it to, and so on and so on. And there's already a couple of startups working with governments worldwide exactly for that, and it's already proven.
Yep.
Now, it doesn't mean that it's always the case. Sometimes it's hard to find or trace, but if you compare it to cash money, it's much better.
Mm.
And speaking of money laundering, I read about banks every month that actually just the European Union just fined some of the biggest banks in Europe and the UK for, I think the amount was more than a trillion or something like that, just because they helped people to launder their money. So when people are talking about cryptocurrency with regards to criminals, it's usually for the following reasons. One, they have a personal fiat agenda. Fiat is old money. It's pounds, US dollars, Swiss francs. It's not the new money cryptocurrency.
Maybe a quick explanation for those that don't understand. Most currencies, I think all currencies in the world at the moment are fiat currencies. And a fiat currency is money that isn't pegged against anything. Up until 1944, currencies were pegged against the gold standard. A thing called Bretton Woods in 1944, countries decided to peg their money to the US dollar, which was pegged to gold. Okay, in 1970, Richard Nixon, remember him, decided to abandon that link. And so from the 1970s onwards, no currency has been linked to any commodity, which is what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just floats freely and is either manipulated by government or it's supposed to be manipulated by the markets, but it's manipulated by government.
Who's crypto manipulated by then?
Great question. First of all, it's not a maybe that fiat money is manipulated. It is.
This is a definite,
and governments are printing money whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
And we've seen the crashes every about a decade. And we've seen 2008. We've seen, by the way, there's probably another one coming in the next 2-3 years, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, with regards to Linda's question, which is a great question, cryptocurrency, at least the real cryptocurrency, and I'll explain what I mean when I say real later on, the real cryptocurrency like Bitcoin is completely decentralized. There's no center power, center force that can manipulate Bitcoin. Having said that, there are many claims about big crypto investors that own a lot of Bitcoin, and some people are saying with regards to Bitcoin specifically that they can shift the market in a very, very significant way.
That, well, there was a funny example, not of cryptocurrency, but a few years ago, of Nelson Bunker Hunt, who is an American billionaire who tried to manipulate markets by hoarding silver. I don't know if you remember it. And he bought billions and billions of dollars worth of silver, but it still went wrong because people just went, do you know what, I'm not going to have silver then. And he ended up with all the silver that became valueless or worth a lot.
And there's so many examples of market manipulation. Yeah. So I am not too excited worried about that with regards to crypto, because first of all, we're just in the beginning.
The thing that amazed me about crypto is, like, I've just thought of my idea. Somebody must have thought of crypto.
Yeah.
The first person who thought of crypto thought, I know, I'm going to develop this currency and I'm going to say it's amazing and people will start buying it and I'm going to create this buzz, which I'm hoping to do with my business, obviously. And then once everyone's got hold of that buzz, then it's going to go worldwide and everyone's going to go crazy about it. It just seems to have sprung out of nothing, like a bit like the government's just printing money.
But let me ask you this question: the money that you hold, the bills that you hold in your hand,
yeah,
what does it mean? What's the worth of it?
Well, probably nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same with crypto. It's worth nothing unless we give it value.
Right.
And the market speaks for itself. Exactly the opposite from fiat money. The Bitcoin price goes up and down according to the market supply and demand. And it's not being done by any government or any bank, central bank or non-central bank. And that's the beauty of it.
Or any company. In fact, at the start of this, the actual start point wasn't the currency, it was blockchain.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole start of this was the chap who tried to keep himself secret as well, I think.
Satoshi Nakamoto. Yeah. And the beauty about him or her or them, because no one knows, is that no one knows who it is or who they are. And that even gives more power to Bitcoin specifically. Now, there's other types of cryptocurrencies that are very, very interesting, and they are based on different other blockchains. And they have different advantages and disadvantages. But I will just say that, again, it's really, really hard to digest. Going back to the phone call that I got that I told you about before, it took me 2.5 months of reading every day. I sat down from morning until night. And I was reading about the blockchains because by then, 2 years ago, there were already different types of blockchains and there were about 1,000 plus cryptocurrencies, different cryptocurrencies. Right now, there's more than 2,000. And the big deal here is that it's really amazing, but the problem is that people don't understand it and it's really difficult to understand. Now, the people behind the fiat money, which starts with the governments, the banks, and goes to all kinds of investors or billionaires or millionaires. I have one example, but I'll not mention the name. But one of the biggest fiat billionaires in the world is always fighting cryptocurrency and always calling out cryptocurrency as if it's a scam or if it belongs to criminals or being used mainly by criminals and so on. And what people don't understand is that the fact that he owns US dollars.
He's insecure.
He doesn't have crypto and he has his fortune to protect. The problem is that he's misleading people because he's talking about it in a way, in a very negative way, and people are following him because they're used to following him. For example, my father is a very, very smart person, in my opinion. I learned a lot from him in general, business-wise, and so on and so on. And I'm trying to explain blockchain and crypto to him every time that we meet, and every time I do it all over again. Now, don't get me wrong. He's considered to be a very technological person.
Yeah.
But he's already older than 70 years old, and it's really hard for him to understand because it's a lot of technology-based. And the second reason, which is probably even stronger, is the fact that we've been brainwashed all our lives. And the reason that I explained about myself at the beginning is it's really important for me to make sure that people understand I don't have an agenda with the governments or the banks. I'm completely fine with it. But when they are trying to fight cryptocurrency, and a lot of the governments are trying to fight, for example, in India at the moment, which is supposed to be a high-tech country, they are trying to execute a bill that will get anyone who holds or trades cryptocurrency 10 years in prison. Which is horrible. Yeah, I mean, talk about freedom and talk about...
That's just a typical reaction of overreaction of fear.
Yeah.
That exactly. They're frightened of something like that because they think it's going to threaten their fortune.
Exactly. There was a U.S. congressman...
And it's based on ignorance.
Exactly. It's another example, and I won't say the name. A U.S. congressman goes up in a Congress meeting, in a governmental meeting, and says, we should consider banning Bitcoin. And he even said... He even said that the reason that he is afraid is because it might hurt the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. You're going to ban something so amazing that can help so many people in the world. Mm-hmm. And with all due respect, the U.S. can influence a big part of the world. And he's saying it because it can hurt U.S. dollars.
Can I just ask, you said that people in other countries haven't got access to bank accounts. How are they going to get access to something like Bitcoin when they haven't even got the money to have a phone or have access to technology, and it's all done via that way?
Well, great question.
I can answer some of that, though, because, in fact, if you look, Africa is a really good example.
Exactly.
In Africa at the moment, the population of Africa is just under 1 billion people. Mm-hmm. There are 800 million mobile phones use in Africa.
So we think poverty doesn't come with technology. Actually, it's the reverse.
Yeah.
It does come with technology.
And funnily enough,
so they're able to
as a way around this unbankable stuff, in East Africa, in Kenya, Uganda and other places, they actually transfer money using a mobile phone app called M-Pesa. Okay. And since M-Pesa was rolled out, most of East Africa has become banked using mobile phone credits.
Oh, okay.
So they've invented their own currency, basically.
So
And remember that today, to get a mobile phone is so cheap because not everyone buys premium phones. I mean, you can get a mobile phone for
buy one for 10 quid.
Exactly.
So we've got a touch point with crypto. I like playing in the arena because I think I can't even start to speak to people until I'm in there playing the game. But for me, I think this all comes down to emotion. So that's why people are getting fearful. They don't want this cryptocurrency to come in because then they do the emotions too connected to it all.
I think you've also got this kind of Wild West feeling about it. When you see the numbers, you know, that crypto rises 10,000% in a week on the markets.
Scary.
And it's scary and people go, oh, hold on a minute, how does that work?
Well, we were just talking, weren't we, at the beginning. So crypto, I started playing with this about two. And I say the word play and I use that word. And you're smiling, aren't you? Because I'm using it prescriptively because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So to change my emotion to the money.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a playing arena.
Yeah.
And I've had to sit in with it and watch my money disappear near enough to zero. And you've just got to watch it and go, oh, and then all of a sudden you're watching trends.
Yeah.
For me, the biggest thing is this, and I'm going to poke the bear a little bit with you. It's a very new industry. You even said you've been in it 2.5 years. Why should I trust you that you know what you're saying is true?
Okay, I love that question. I always finish every presentation that I have with the next sentence. Do not trust anyone, not even me. and I'll say it over and over again. But before we talk about the fluctuation, the volatility of the pricing, and I don't think that's the only reason that people are scared from crypto. It is a significant reason, a major reason. But I'd like to talk about the first reason. The first reason, the way that I see it, is what I mentioned before about the pressure coming from governments and banks and millionaires and billionaires. The second reason is the scammers. What happened with the crypto industry that... as you mentioned, there is a wild, wild west, which is still going on. And the problem that we have is that some of the problem is that the regulators are taking their time. They're not acting fast enough. Now, it's always been the case with regulators and technology, but now it's becoming even worse. And the pace is much it's happening much faster than with everything else that we've seen before. Now, to answer what you just said, first of all, I was there when the internet revolution happened. And when I started using emails, everyone laughed at me. Now look who's laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not even one person on earth that is not using emails unless he doesn't know how to read and write for, until he starts using it. And another reason that I mentioned before about the scammers is the fact that people abused this amazing new technology, but it's not the first time that it's happening. It's always happening with new technologies.
It happens and, with credit cards.
And we've seen it happening, and I am sure that we will continue to see it happen because as this technology is advancing and progressing on a daily basis.
Well, you've now got a crypto card as well. So now you've got a card that you can use for your cryptocurrency.
It's not only that. You can also start using debit and credit cards connected to your crypto wallet. And when you buy something at the store, the store owner doesn't even know that you use crypto, because it does a conversion from crypto to fiat, to the old money, and then the shopkeeper or owner gets pounds
or dollars,
for example.
Yeah.
So would you use Bitcoin.
Yeah, would you say this is globalization of currency then?
It's absolutely a globalization of crypto, of money in general.
Yeah.
And that's another reason that it's so amazing. Mm. Now, back to the problems that we've seen. When I got into blockchain and crypto, I decided to start my own company, what you mentioned before, Cointelligence.
Yeah.
And what we do at Cointelligence is research and analysis for blockchain and crypto companies. So it can be the different coins. It can be startups that are trying to raise funds. And with regards to raising funds, there's a whole new world out there, which is completely different than what we've known until now. Because until now, you had a startup, you went to angel investors, you got some money, then you went to VCs, venture funds, and so on and so on. Today, with the new fundraising mechanism, you can actually approach everyone on Earth, and they can invest with crypto. And there's a lot to say about that and the different types of the mechanisms, because there's new ones popping all the time. And I'll start throwing initials, but it won't help. ICO, IEO, STO, there's so many different types.
Can I ask, because I really want somebody to come in and start this with you. And there's so much. So what you've got is quite a tsunami of information here. How do people start? How would you suggest people start to play in this arena? So if this is our future, how can you influence them and inspire them to begin?
Great.
Safely.
So I would say, great, safely. That's a serious keyword. So first, I would suggest to obviously visit my site, Cointelligence.
Nicely done.
Give us a shout for that on
.com. But and it's really a good place to start, because when the time passed in the last 2 years, we made all kinds of changes, and we would like everyone to get value from Cointelligence. It's for the professional traders or investors, mostly crypto traders or investors, and it can also be beginners, because we publish a lot of guides. For example, you can learn about Bitcoin, how it started, what's the pros, what's the cons, and so on, and with regards to many other types of blockchains and coins. And we also run a Cointelligence Academy sessions. And we do it completely for free, by the way. And we do it online and physical. That's how I started with the Kent University. And that's how we got introduced, because I did a session over there.
Okay.
And I'm planning to do more sessions over there. So it's a great place to start. But having said that, and if I will be unbiased for a second, you can get the information without a problem. And I mean, everything is online. I mean, you can just type on Google, and usually the top results, usually, not always, the top results are genuine and good to read. But let's put it this way. Anyone that is interested to join blockchain or crypto can just find us, me or one of my team members, on any major social media platform, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. and just ask us. And I have a list of all the basic guides that we ask our interns to read and watch videos and text. And I'd be happy to share it with anyone that would like to get into blockchain and crypto. Yeah.
Fantastic. On, thank you so much for that. I'm afraid we've run out of time on the show now. Brilliant to talk to you. If you want to hear more from On, Yavin, On is going to be back at the Kent Business School in the near future. As soon as we get the dates for that, we will publish it here and we will let you know on the Business Bunker show. For the moment, On, thank you so much for joining us and being very passionate about blockchain and cryptocurrencies. Incredible. And it's something that's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger as we go forward.
Well, we're just beginning the conversation, aren't we? Yeah. That's the thing.
And it's like all new technologies. It's scary and it takes the world a long time to catch up. And there are a lot of people out there that take advantage of people's lack of knowledge. Mm. And that's where the scammers and
We've said this before, haven't we? We've still got people who don't want to put their bank details in today onto the World Wide Web, you know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So that's where that fear is that you're even, you know, light streaks ahead of that.
I just need to tell you about what's coming up later this week. Our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, on Friday at 11 o'clock. Amanda, the presenter, is joined by her co-host this week, who is Richard Bell, who's the CTO of 10 Intelligence, a cybersecurity company. And their guest on the show is Sarah Hawes from Izzy PR. That's 11 o'clock, the Business Bunker Show on Friday. Do join them for that. That's it from us for another week. I want to say a huge thank you to Linda Cloak, Monica Jessens and On Yavin for being our guests today, and to my lovely co-host, the absolute winner.
Thank you.
Miss Honor Bike, Sarah Ann Lucas. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back with another Business Bunker Show next week. In the interim, have a good week. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.